Kia ora and welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 290. Today is Monday, October 29, 2012. Well, it's spring here, so-called. I say so-called because the weather's been more wintry than springy. Spring, of course, began on September 1st, and we had actually a bit of spring weather once it did. But then it got cold and rainy, well, cool and rainy, with some, quite frankly, cold mornings. And then all of a sudden we started having some really beautiful days the past week or two, and then all of a sudden it got cold and rainy again. See, the thing is, in October, we usually have a lot of hot, dry days with bright sunshine, but we just haven't had much of that yet this October, and of course now it doesn't look like we're going to, and it will be, who knows when it'll be, because November is very often a rainy month, so I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we missed out in spring this year, I don't know. Well, not this past weekend, but the weekend before was the Labor holiday weekend here in New Zealand. And the previous Wednesday, I drove down to Pāroa and picked up Nigel's mum and brought her back, and she stayed with us through Tuesday of this past week. A week ago tomorrow, I took her home. And, of course, for me, that's kind of a big deal because I don't normally do this highway driving or long trips. I just drive around town. So, I mean, it's the better part of 2 hours each way. And, of course, I drove down and back the same day both times. So it was kind of a big deal for me, which was made a bigger deal because the day I went down to pick her up, there was a truck that caught fire on the Southern Motorway, which is the main highway out of town. And nobody was hurt or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of fire, but still, I mean, there was damage. It was a shipping container, I think, on the back of a truck by the look of it. But Nigel rang me just as I had left the house and I was on my way to tell me that this was going on. So then I took these alternate routes through city streets to try to avoid it. And naturally, everybody else had the exact same idea I did. And it was a madhouse. It was the worst traffic jam I've ever seen, probably anywhere. And I finally decided I had enough. I was going to get back on the motorway, which, as it happens, is roughly where the thing had happened, the incident. But by then, they'd moved the truck off the road and they'd opened it up again. And then once I got past it, of course, everything was fine. So it added the better part of an hour to my trip that day, 45 minutes easily, but probably an hour. And it was just awful. So that part was not a good experience, but all the other trips down and back were fine. So I suppose there's that. And we all had a lovely time that better part of a week and a nice weekend. So that was good. Nice 3-day weekend. Well, we have been, of course, very busy, not just because of that, but also because of other things we've got going on. And quite frankly, I don't remember what I've talked about and what I haven't. So if I repeat myself, do forgive me. It's just sort of the nature of things. But one of the things that happened in the interim since my last episode, I did post about this to the podcast site and also to my blog. The post is called Changing the Past. And what happened is that about a month ago, a little over a month ago, I got an email from Google, well, YouTube actually, telling me that somebody had claimed ownership of something in one of my videos. And the video was 4 years old. It was Auckland Christmas, which I put up in December of 2008. So I didn't really remember it. So I watched it again. And first I'm thinking, no, I shot all of this video. No, those are my photos. What are they on about? And then I realized it was the music track at the very end. And I got the music track. It was just instrumental. I wanted something that was bland, inoffensive, non-religious. And so that worked. It wasn't. And a lot of free tracks are awful, and that one wasn't. So I used it. And I got it from this thing called the Podsafe Music Network, which is now called Mevio's Music Alley, which provided, or said it provided, royalty-free, licensed music to use in podcasts. And remember, the video started out as a video podcast, which I then later posted to YouTube. And so once I finally figured out what it was about, I went to try to figure out what the story was, and I found out that the company that was supposedly claiming ownership does license that particular track, and they charge $1.99 to use it in a YouTube video. And I could have just paid that to relicense it, but I thought, why should I? Because as far as I was concerned, and still am for that matter, I had a valid license to use that track. Because it turns out that that track is still available from Mevio Music Alley. And I could have tried to fight Google, but you can't win against Google. So I decided that the nuclear option was the best option. And so what I did is I deleted the video from YouTube. I went back to the original video project, which I still have, went in there, deleted the music track from there, and put notes that it was silent on purpose. Then I re-uploaded it first to my podcast site, in case anybody did download that video podcast, and then back to YouTube. And I said in the YouTube description what the story was, why there was the silence in there, an abbreviated version of the post, I suppose. And so that was that. But then I began to think, well, geez, you know, what else are they going to go after? And I was working on a project at the time for a video on voting overseas. And I found a site with free video, video clips that you can use in your projects. And one of them was of a flag waving in slow motion. And I'd seen a similar clip on a pay site. And I thought to myself, well, if they're this way about music that I'm legally licensed, they're certainly going to be that way about video. And so I just canceled the whole project and gave up. And it made me really think twice about what I was going to do in videos in future. Well, fast forward many weeks, and I saw that one of our leading tech journalists here in New Zealand posted an article about essentially the same thing happening to him. He had a video that he posted, which was actually just a video that Microsoft released and released to the public domain, and he posted it to his YouTube channel to make it easier for him to embed in an article he was writing. And he got a notice similar to mine saying that somebody was claiming ownership of the content of the video, that no action would be taken against him, but they might place ads on the page, and naturally you don't get any revenue from that. And he's thinking, what the hell are they talking about? Microsoft owns it, if anybody, and they've released it to the public domain. Well, it turns out that it was a Google bot. It wasn't even the company's bot. It was a Google bot that found the content and decided that it was similar enough to this other company's that it must be theirs. And so with a lot of emails back and forth, they stopped answering, but then the claim against him eventually went away. And that was the end of it as far as his thing goes. But this is probably happening to quite a few people who use YouTube. And it certainly has made me gun-shy, and probably others as well. And so I'm really leery I'm really leery about what I'm going to do, and I have to rethink things entirely to try to make sure that everything I do is 100% my own content. But then that gets back to the problem of music, because if I use any of my fancy video editing software to do videos, and I use, say, an Apple Loop as the music, then that's probably a violation of that license agreement. So it's really complicated. And I don't know what I'm going to ultimately do right now. Just put it in the too hard basket, because it certainly is. In other stories that are going on, I have obviously talked extensively about the Marriage Equality Act, a bill, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, which the submissions to Parliament closed on Friday, this past Friday, and they got thousands probably, including probably about a gajillion from the frothing radical right, I imagine. It's going to be interesting if the testimony is videoed or broadcast in any way. It'll be funny, not in a hilarious way, but in a kind of way, watching these frothing Bible bangers trying to justify their prejudice and hatred, which is inevitable that they will do that. But on the other hand, it will make our side seem so much more reasonable by comparison, and make themselves seem even more crazy. But, a number of people that I know of made submissions. I did not, because I couldn't think of what to say, to be honest. I've said pretty much everything I wanted to say about it publicly, and I didn't know what to say in a submission. I've never made a submission to Parliament, and I don't personally know anybody who has. I just know people through the intertubes who have, but I don't personally know anybody who's ever made a submission to Parliament. And nevertheless, we will see how that goes. But this past weekend, a bunch of, I think they were mostly Tongan, but possibly some Samoan preachers got together and had an anti-marriage equality rally in South Auckland. And they were saying one of the leaders, when he left the podium, talked about Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And, oh, please, I'm so tired. But a Labour MP was there who I don't care for. And there was I guess he's a candidate for the Mana Party, which is supposedly kind of leftist, which doesn't jive with that. But It's interesting because they elicited a lot of different reactions. On the one hand, there are all these people saying, look at this bald hatred and bigotry that they're showing, because they were carrying some really, really aggressive signs about how gay people are worse than animals and all kinds of things like that. But other people defending them, saying, well, if you can't defend them because that's their cultural belief. And of course, I have always often said, including on this podcast, that culture does not excuse everything. You can't excuse hatred, bigotry, violence, blah, 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 because of culture. And so it's kind of a touchy area because lefty whiteys don't want to say anything too much because they don't want to be accused of being racist. The right is cheering them on, partly because it's based on religion, 100% based on their religious beliefs. And of course, they're all for that because the opposition is 100% religious. So, you know, it goes a bit back and forth. But I don't think ultimately it made any difference to anybody because the people in their communities who believe as they do already believe that way. The people who believe our way already believe our way, and they're not going to be persuaded because these wealthy preachers get up and they are wealthy, relatively speaking, say stuff anti-gay, and they're not going to care. And it's just the tide is moving against them. I mean, everybody acknowledges that the majority of Parliament is behind this, whether it's 65 votes ultimately or not, I don't know, we'll see. But nevertheless, a majority of Parliament is in favor of the bill, and they're not going to be persuaded by a bunch of preachers. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. Nevertheless, a lot of the churches were organizing to try to get submissions against the bill made. They were issued letters to various fundamentalist churches in New Zealand. And not all fundamentalists, some Roman Catholic and Anglican and Presbyterian churches, conservative churches, were spreading this letter and trying to get people to make submissions against the marriage equality bill. But the problem for them is that all of those submissions will be religiously tainted, as it were, because they all will have come from the same source, they all will be making the same arguments, all of them religiously based. And if your argument is that freedom of religion has to mean freedom from religion, and it does, then why should these people's religious beliefs trump other people's religious beliefs? And that's the conundrum they're going to raise and the question that they're going to raise in the sensible MPs' minds. And there are a lot of sensible MPs. There's a lot of useless ones, but there are senseless MPs. Sensible MPs. senseless, too. There are some. But anyway, so that's a bit of what's been going on here and in these environs. Now, when I first started recording this episode, which was weeks ago, many weeks ago, I was starting it right after Auntie Vera had posted something about Pride 48. And I told him that I was going to post it here as well because he expressed a sentiment that I was feeling as well. And I want to talk about that next, but first I'm going to play that clip from Auntie Vera.
You know, I'm going through a lot of stuff in my podcasting mind, my sweet and most wonderful lovey. So I'm considering all kinds of things. And, you know, I go through these phases, but I've been going through one strongly about the value of what I'm doing and the value to me as well as to the value to anybody else. And I'm not requesting emails or anything of support, loveys. That's not why I'm saying this. I'm just telling you how I feel. And what I find most interesting about those times is more times than not when I'm feeling like, why are you doing this? What's the point? I'll either get a gift or I'll get a card or I'll get an email that is like a slap in the face saying, this is why you do this. And most all the time, it just changes my mind immediately. But I must say that in the midst of what I'm, as I said, cryptically, and I'm sorry for the cryptic bullshit, going through about thinking about the value of my show and to me and anybody else, I got from the Pride 48 community a thank you card, which in and of itself is lovely and kind, but it's signed by, my guess is most everybody that was there, almost everybody that was there signed this thank you card with little, an inscription and a signature. And I was reading this and having difficulty reading it because my eyes were tearing. and all of these wonderful names and all of these wonderful thoughts and all of these wonderful feelings were blurring in my vision. But I just wanted to thank every one of you that signed this card. You know, you're giving me a thank you card, but I'm the one who's grateful. I appreciate it more than I can tell you. My heart swelled when I, and in a good way, because it can swell in a bad way too. It swelled in a good way when I opened this and I read it. So thank you, Pride 48 community, for that.
Okay, that was by Auntie Vera Charles, which is the nom du pod for a podcaster from the Vera Speaks for Real podcast. Well worth checking out in itself. But not for the first time, I knew exactly what he was talking about, because I felt the exact same way when I got my card. Now, I haven't really talked about this before, but this year in particular, I felt especially disconnected from Pride 48. Every year, I've always felt really flat when the event ends, because there's all of this energy, all of this time, all of this emotion that goes into getting the thing going and keeping it going. And then as soon as it's over, it's like, whoom, this letdown. Well, this year for me was particularly bad because I didn't do my own show, and I only did the opening show and the closing show. The closing show ended pretty much right on time, and then when it did, done. And I'm like, well, now what? And I literally did wander around the house for a little while trying to figure out what I was going to do next, because that had been my focus for all that time. And actually, that's not an uncommon thing, even for those who don't podcast, who are listeners. Like I heard Turniphead talking to John Ong about that on John Ong's show, that when you've invested all this time and energy in the event, then it's over, you sort of feel at a loss, at loose ends. Well, I felt that way in particular this year, and I didn't really feel part of Pride 48 this year. It's not anybody's fault. I'm not saying that somebody did something they shouldn't have, or that they didn't do something that they should have, whatever. It's not about other people. It's about me and where I was at. And it's largely because of this really shitty year. It's been a terrible year. And it just, I wasn't able to get into it as much as previous years. And I do think that part of it was the disappointment, because Nigel and I had planned on attending this year and we couldn't do it. And so there was this large part of it that was just plain disappointment. But there were other things going on as well. And there were a few things related to the Pride 48 event itself. I mean, there was one show I was worried whether it was going to show up or not. And I woke up at 3 a.m. that night thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do if they don't show up? Because it was at a time when it wasn't convenient for Las Vegas to take over. And I thought, what am I going to do? Because I don't have anything prepared. And it was not pleasant. They did show up in the end, obviously, because I didn't do a show. But it was unnecessarily stressful for me. And it will be far less so next year, because my hosting duties are being taken over by Nessa from Hello Nessa, and she'll do a fabulous job. I'm looking forward to that. But it all gets back to this whole thing of that Vera was talking about thinking, well, why am I doing this? And there have been plenty of times over the past few months, this year, and even earlier, where I've thought to myself, I should just stop. This is pointless. I should just stop. I obviously can't stick to any kind of schedule. And even when I do have time, I don't have anything to say. I should just stop. And I was thinking lately about stopping when I hit episode 300. And I don't know if I will or not. I might keep going. I might not. I don't know. I might not even make it that far. My point is that the people who do these podcasts, these independent journal podcasts in particular, sorry, personal journal podcasts in particular, don't receive money for it. And what they generally do it for is one of two reasons, or both. First, just the love of the medium, being able to produce these audio programs and distribute them for anybody who wants to listen to them. But usually related to that is the second part, which is feedback and interaction. Hearing back from people who leave voicemails or comments on the site or emails or whatever it might be. And that's the thing that drives them forward. I know for me, it's the second one primarily. I mean, I have in the past enjoyed the challenge of putting together the audio program, but I haven't been as good about that for the past couple of years. I haven't been able to arrange interviews, for instance, even though I've tried. There have been all sorts of things, barriers to making that happen. But anyway, be that as it may. So for me, it's always about feedback. And I observed recently on Facebook that people love to diss Facebook. They criticize it up one side and down the other. And I have too. I'm not leaving myself out of that. But I noticed that I interact with people more on Facebook than I do on my blog and all my podcasts combined. And that's got to be true for other people as well, not just me. I mean, I'm relatively very small podcaster in this whole hierarchy. But it's got to be true for others as well. And it seems to me that as listeners, because I'm a listener too, that we all need to be a bit more proactive about making sure that the people that we like know that we like them and what they do. And it's not enough just to think, oh, I enjoyed that, or just say, okay, I wonder when the next one is. But to let them know that you're wondering when the next one is or whatever, because none of us get paid for this. There are very few podcasts that make any money at all, and most of those are commercial. And so it's, you know, if we don't do it for money, and it then just becomes for the love of it and for the communities that we build. So I don't want to, I'm certainly not trying to put words into Vera's mouth, but basically my point is that if you like a show, tell them. What I do or don't do in the future, whether I stop at 300 or go to 3,000, I don't know yet. And quite frankly, I don't think that anything anybody says to me would make any difference about that anyway. So I'm not talking about this for myself. And it's something I'm guilty of as well. I certainly don't reach out to podcasts that I enjoy nearly as much as I should. In fact, not even almost as much as I should. I rarely do. And I need to. But I implore you as a listener, as a fellow listener, to reach out to the podcast that you like and let them know that you like them. And again, I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about for others. Because those are the people who really need it, especially the new podcast. If you stumble across a new podcast and you really like it, let them know. Because they will need that encouragement to keep going and to get better. And, you know, just don't be afraid to reach out. Because if you do it on Facebook, you can do it on their podcast site as well. So there. Oh, that's a bit of a rant, but... Be that as it may. Well, that is the gist of what I have covered in previous episodes, I think. Previous attempts at this episode. This, not this week, the week before, it was the 19th, I think it was, yeah, somewhere around there, I mailed off my ballot to the US of A. So I have voted, and I didn't do a video about it this year, not just the kind I was talking about before, the one I killed, the Voting Overseas project, which I canceled. I didn't do a video of me voting either, as I did 4 years ago. And I could have, but I just couldn't be bothered for a variety of reasons, partly. And frankly, part of that was because I just didn't have time because Nigel's mom was staying with us at that time. And I didn't want to, I never do anything, as you know, I never do any podcasting or anything like that when somebody else is in the house, if I can help it. So that was that. And I got mine done and posted well ahead of time. So it's probably already back in Illinois. In fact, I know it's back in Illinois by now because that was over 10 days ago. And it doesn't take that long usually. But yes. So now I have no idea what's coming up in the next few episodes. I've got to get my head around it, I suppose, and try to figure out about the things that I want to talk about and tell you about. But I wanted this episode just to be sort of a kind of a general update about a catch-up, I suppose, about where things are, what's been going on. I actually have a bit of a housing update, but I think I'm going to hold that till next time because I'm not sure precisely what I've already talked about. And I do want to check that because that could get really boring otherwise. But I actually have a voicemail, so I'm going to play that now.
Hi, Arthur. It's Bink in Santa Fe, and I was just calling to thank you for the update on the marriage equality bill. I've been following that and lobbying my MP in Dunedin North, but since he's a Labour MP in a district covering Otago University, I kind of never doubted that he was going to be voting in favor of it. So do keep us posted as things develop further. I've been finding it a little difficult to keep track of what's going on as the bill moves through the process, which I have to admit I don't really understand. And apart from that, I hope that you are looking forward to the summer and have a great year to come. Okay, take care. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Bank. And yes, I am looking forward to summer, although I wouldn't mind having a bit of spring first. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Funny thing about the MP, his name is David Clark, and I assumed that he was going to vote for marriage equality for pretty much the same reasons that you did. I also follow him on Twitter and noticed that he seemed to be reasonably progressive and so on, because we have a conservative wing in the Labour Party as well, and he certainly didn't seem to be one of them. So I just assumed that he was going to vote for it. Well, it turns out that he's an ordained Presbyterian minister, and apparently there was some question as to whether or not he would vote for it pretty much right up until the first reading. And in the end, he ended up being one of the people chosen to speak in favor of the bill, one of the Labour people chosen, and he did a very good job, but I wasn't aware that there was ever any question. One of the MPs I did know there was a question about and thought was really stupid was this guy named Phil Twyford. And when Helen Clark left Parliament to take her job at the UN, he was supposed to run for her seat. She had recruited him to eventually succeed her in Mount Albert, which is her electorate. And what ended up happening is that he couldn't, because he was a list MP. And if he ran in her electorate, then the next person on the list would move up into Parliament. And that person was Judith Tizard. And nobody wanted her back in Parliament on either side of the aisle. So the only thing that they could do was recruit somebody from outside of Parliament to run for the Mount Albert seat. And that person was David Shearer, who is now the leader of the Labour Party and the leader of the opposition. Phil Twyford, in this past election, ran for the Tiadatu electorate. And he said that before he committed to, he hadn't made up his mind on marriage equality and he had to consult with his constituents. And I was assured privately that this was a process he had to go through, but that they were sure that he would ultimately vote for it. And I thought this, if that was true, that the whole thing was pointless, because if he was going to vote for it, he should have been honest and then just gone to his constituents and explained why, instead of going through a charade of consultation that wasn't meaningful. On the other hand, if he really was unsure what to do, then I thought, then why are we placing so much faith in this guy? Well, in the end, he did vote for it, although we didn't know that until the vote was actually cast for the first reading. And I found that kind of troubling. But I often have trouble with Labour Party politicians. I certainly have trouble with the politicians from National and other parties. But the Labour people frustrate the hell out of me sometimes. And that was one of the things that really frustrated me. I thought he was being dishonest to somebody, either to Labour or to his constituents or to both or something. Maybe he really didn't know what he was going to do, in which case I question whether or not he's a good person to have as a Labour MP. But because you should be committed to core Labour values, and support for marriage equality ought to be one of those. Although we have Labour Party MPs, clearly, who don't believe that. Anyway, that is pretty much it for today, I think. There is a comment on the site from Roger Green on that post about the whole YouTube incident. The post is called Changing the Past. But I'm not going to read that because it's actually not related to the podcast as such. But he makes very good points. That is it for today. I will be back when I'm back. And that's it. Goodbye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.